The Word of God is powerful. It's like no other book. It's the living Word of God. It's inspired. It's inerrant. It's infallible. It doesn't just contain truth. It is truth.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. I'm Joshua Halleck with Mark Job. Pastor Mark, it's summertime. People are traveling. You're going to do some traveling this summer?
I'm planning on it, yeah.
A lot of people are out of their normal routine. They're not going to be around the city, not going to hear Moody Radio at night. Is there some way people could still stay up with Straight Talk Radio?
We have a solution just for you. Yeah, you know, Joshua, sometimes people that are on vacation or travel or get away miss having Moody programming or even listening to the Straight Talk messages. And so I am super pumped up and excited to allow our listeners to carry these programs with you anywhere you where you have Wi-Fi access on your smartphone. We've come together with a team of people to create an app, a smart app called Straight Talk with Pastor Mark Job. And so this app will allow you to carry all of our program with you, the Straight Talk messages, Bible reading will be in there. We'll have other resources as well that we are producing here at this ministry. And so it's all in one place, one package, one simple click, and you will have all this stuff available.
That's beautiful. Friends, we designed this as a gift to you. Our heart is to help you develop in your walk with Christ. So you can download it right now at the App Store, Google Play, or the iTunes Store, whatever's easiest for you. You could also go to our website, PastorMarkJob.com, and find out more information there. But wherever you're going this summer and whatever plans you have, we're praying that God would develop you, grow you, and take you to the next level.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everyone. Pastor Mark will be continuing his series called Defiance tonight as we get into a message called The Hard Work of Waiting. Let's get right into our message tonight. The text will be found in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll be in verses 9 through 12. Here's Pastor Mark.
I want to talk to you about the hard work of waiting for Jesus. The hard work of waiting for Jesus. You know, Jesus Christ is coming again. The Bible is clear about that. In fact, the Apostle Paul taught these believers only in 3 weeks, and they were so impressed by the message that he was coming again that some of them took it so literally that they started quitting their jobs thinking, whoa, he's coming next week. Why should I go farm? If he's coming, it doesn't make sense. I might as well quit my job, read the Bible, pray, and say, I'm ready, Jesus. Well, they had misunderstood what Paul was saying, but Jesus is coming again. By the way, can I say if someone tries to predict the day or tries to predict the week or tries to predict the month, you already know that they're a false prophet. I mean, recently there was an older gentleman, I guess he had quite a following over the radio, that predicted the day. Did you hear about that? He predicted the day about a month ago. Everybody, all of his followers were waiting, expecting. It was going to happen. The day came, the day went. They all got disappointed. He got on back on the radio and said, guess what? My math was a little off. So he re-predicted it, and I think it was supposed to happen a couple days ago, maybe on Friday or so, and I didn't follow what he said this time. But you know that the Bible says that anybody that tries to predict the day and the time, you can already discount them as a false prophet. However, the Bible does say, be ready for the times and the seasons. Know the times and the seasons like you read the signs in the sky if it's going to be good or bad weather. We need to be prepared that way and know that the coming of Christ is getting closer. And so we can't predict the time, the day, or the hour, but we can be ready. So this passage is all about how do we prepare for the coming of Christ. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 9. I'm going to ask you to stand up for the reading of the Word. The Word of God is powerful. It's like no other book. It's the living Word of God. It's inspired. It's inerrant. It's infallible. It doesn't just contain truth. It is truth. It does not just contain segments of inspired wording, but it is all inspired wording and is able to transform and change our lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Now about brotherly love, we do not need to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, so that you will not be dependent on anyone. Word of God. You may be seated. One of the hardest things in life is to wait. Oh, I hate waiting. I remember when my first child, Marissa, was going to be born. I had to wait 9 months. Drove me nuts. I thought it was Josiah, so I'd get up to my wife's belly and I'd say, "All right, Josiah, you're going to come out pretty soon here. Come on, I'm waiting for you, bud. Don't make us wait." And as it was, my parents were here for her birth and they had to change their plane ticket 3 times because she was supposed to be born on my birthday, July 9th, and she wasn't born until July 22nd. Oh man, it's hard to wait for something that you want a lot, right? It's just hard to wait. Some of us are in the waiting room and it's really difficult because we get real impatient in the waiting room. How many of you make doctor's appointments? And I don't know what those doctors are up to, but they always have us wait. I feel like if I'm 2 minutes late, I have to apologize. But if they make me wait a half hour, they just think like it's normal. It's hold on, something's wrong here. I just hate waiting. You get the magazines. It's all old copies of Reader's Digest. They're all 3 or 4 months old. And you're just kind of thumbing through them and you know, some of these waiting rooms, they're all women's magazine, Home, whatever this and style. It's like, some of you have been waiting for other things. Those of you that are Cub fans, boy, you've been waiting for a long time. You've been waiting for a long time for a World Series, a long time. It's hard to be in that waiting room, I tell you. It's a very difficult challenge. If you're single here today, maybe you've been waiting for that right person. In fact, sometimes you walk in this auditorium, you think today's the day, Jesus. I'm looking for a spiritual, God-filled kind of person. So you scan the auditorium, walk around. You take a while to find your seat. The usher says, "No, there's a seat here." You say, "No, no, I'm going to sit up there." So you just can scan. You sit down and say, "No, I think he's not here today, Lord." But one thing that we are all waiting for is we're believers. We're waiting for the second coming of Christ. And so this passage here is really talking to us about how to wait well. What we're supposed to do while we wait. Because while we wait, sometimes people put their life on hold and they don't live how they're supposed to live. Some of you are waiting for something and it's almost like your life is on hold until that something happens. So you're wasting life waiting for something to happen where you need to be living life. And some of us are in the waiting room and we start doing the wrong things while we're in the waiting room, not prepared for the appointment that's coming. And so Paul is telling them, hey, you're waiting for the second coming of Christ, but some of you are really messing up in the waiting room. In essence, he tells them, if you start, last week we looked at verse 7, and the earlier part of the chapter is all about purity. He's saying, if you're waiting for me, make sure you understand that your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit and you need to live with sexual purity. If you're getting ready for the coming of Christ, you need to understand that part of getting ready is that you determine that you will live sexually pure until he comes. Now, in this passage, he's talking to us about two other main important waiting room experiences. And one has to do with our relationships, and the other has to do with our work ethic. So, as we look at 1 Thessalonians, you'll realize that in this book, Paul looks at the return of Christ, and he talks about it 3 times in this book. He explains aspects of the return of Christ that take up 16 verses of 1 Thessalonians. 19 out of the 89 total verses, over 20% of the book is devoted to the second coming of Christ. So he's talking to them about the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. Now, as I told you before, some of them had gotten so into the end times, thinking that Jesus was coming soon, that they had started to behave in ways that were sabotaging their waiting process. It seems like some of them had quit their jobs. I don't know, maybe they were bunkering down with water and cans of foods in their basement waiting for the coming of Christ. Some of them thought that the end of the world was coming at them right away. And so they had started to just not prepare for their future, quit their jobs. They weren't, people from the outside were looking at them as though they were kooky. They were nuts, like, what are these people doing? And they weren't doing what they should have been doing while they waited for Christ. Listen, the best thing that you can do while you wait for Christ is live for God in the world. Even if we knew that Jesus Christ was coming a week from today, I would tell you, don't quit your job. Just go to your job. Work hard. Do what you're supposed to do. Because the best way to get ready for Christ is to live your life full of God. Whatever you're supposed to be doing, do it, but full of God. And so the Apostle Paul talks to them about a couple of things. He says, while you wait, don't blow it. Keep pure, increase in love, and work hard. Look at what he says in verses 9 through 10. If you're taking notes, write this down. Waiting for Jesus means working at loving others. This is your relational testimony. Verse 9 says, now about brotherly love. By the way, that word brotherly love is literally the word Philadelphia. You may know what Philadelphia means, but it's taken from the Greek word. Phila means love. In the Greek, there's three expressions of love. There's filial love, which is brotherly love. There's eros love, which is more sensual, romantic love. And then there's agape love, which is more this unconditional love. It's the kind of love that's often used by God towards us. And so he says, now about brotherly love, the word philia means love, the word adelphia means brothers, so brotherly love.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled The Hard Work of Waiting, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Defiance, Turning Your World Upside Down. After the broadcast, I will tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're in chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Pastor Mark's message tonight is called The Hard Work of Waiting.
It's the kind of love that you have towards people like your brother, your sister, family members that you say, hey, I really care about them. No matter what they do, no matter how they blow it, they're still my family. And we may not get along, we may argue, but we always go back to loving each other. Why? Because they're family. And the Apostle Paul says, now, about brotherly love, I don't need to write you. He says, you know what? I look at your church. I look at the church in Thessalonica. I look at how you relate to each other, and I realize I don't even have to encourage you to love each other because, he says, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. Taught by God? Well, yeah. How were they taught by God? Did God come down and teach them a course on loving one another 101? No. Here's how we learn to love each other. It's the idea of loving each other is more caught than it is taught. And here's what happens. Listen, the moment that you come to Christ and you bow your knee and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and starts living inside of you. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead that dwells inside of you. When someone says, where is God's address on earth? God's address is your body. because you, it's a moving target. It's a roving address. You are the manifestation. God's presence is manifest in you via his Holy Spirit. He dwells inside of you. As he dwells inside of you, he is called to be the, in the Greek, it's called the paraklete, which means the coach, the instructor, the advocate, the teacher. The Holy Spirit is inside of you to coach you how to live for God. You have an inbuilt coach. What about that? How about it? One of the most experienced, powerful, insightful people in the universe. It's called the Holy Spirit, and he lives inside of you, and his job is to coach you to live for God all the way. So as you start listening to the inner voice of the Holy Spirit, you will begin to distinguish what is right and what is wrong. Even though no one may have taught you, you will intuitively know right from wrong when the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is inside of you. Has that ever happened to you? No one taught you, and then suddenly you just stopped doing something. Someone said, why'd you stop? I don't know. I just felt it was wrong. What, did your church tell you that? No. What's that? It's the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been in a situation and you feel like, hey, something's a little weird about this? I know it's all religious, but it seems a little weird religious. And you just kind of say, I think I'm going to bow out of this. And later on you find out it was some wacky, cultic, demonic thing. But you didn't know. You were new. But just in your spirit, you felt something's wrong with that. Something's not right there. Why? It's the Holy Spirit. He's coaching you. He's guiding you. He's like a spiritual GPS. My son got lost this morning, 17-year-old son. He's driving. He was doing a project for our 11-11-11. Got lost on the west side. Dad, I don't know. He calls me up and says, Dad, I have no idea where I'm at. I'm like, okay. Got on my computer. Tell me your street intersections. So he's telling me. And over the phone, I'm telling him, okay, turn, take a right, two more blocks, go this way, watch that way. Well, he himself doesn't know where he's going, but he's listening to this small little voice of someone that really loves him and wants him to arrive safe to his destination. It's his dad. The Holy Spirit is kind of that way. It's that inner voice speaking into your ear. And then now when you call upon him, he'll answer you. When you say, I'm listening, let me dial you up and call you. The Holy Spirit travels alongside of us that way. So the Apostle Paul, yeah, it's great to have the Holy Spirit inside of us. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Man, I am so glad. I've had people say to me, Pastor, I get so much out of Sunday. I wish you could kind of travel with me to work in the back seat and coach me a little, disciple me. You know, hey, I'm not going to do that, first of all. Secondly, it would just be weird for me to wake up and say, hey, can I walk with you to work and kind of hold your coffee and just kind of. But you have something a lot better than that. You have the Holy Spirit 24 hours a day. The person of the Godhead convicting you, leading you, and guiding you. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is he teaches you to love. Paul says, I don't even have to tell you about this because you already know it. You've been taught by God. God has begun to teach you to love people that are different than you. And of course, what God begins to teach us is that one of the cultures of the kingdom of God people is that we love. One of the things that distinguishes us from other people is the fact that we actually deeply love people around us. I'm not talking about loving people that love you, because that's easy. How about it? You have people in life that are really friendly. They always encourage you. You just love to be around them. You just like to hang out with them because they're just so easy to love. You say, my buddy here. They're just easy to love because they like you. You like them. But then you have others, right? They're not so easy. And that's why Jesus says, you have been taught, love those that love you, and I tell you, love your enemies. There are people that are hard to love. All of us will encounter people that are hard to love. But here's what the Word of God says. I believe that God is teaching us to increase more and more in love. It's God who teaches us to love. There have been times in my life as a pastor that I know when my love tank is running really, really low. I mean, sometimes you deal with people, there's a lot of problems. Some people are chronic problems, chronic issues, and chronic attitudes. And I remember several years ago, I just had it. It seemed like everybody who called me had a problem, had a complaint, had an issue, had an attitude. And I was just walking in the flesh. How many of you know pastors sometimes walk in the flesh? So a lady called me up. Lady that always had a lot of problems. I'm kind of listening to her on the phone like this, kind of rolling my eyes. Okay, what is it now? All right. Okay. All right. Yeah, I know. You had this problem last week, the week before, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Yeah, okay. All right. All right. All right. God bless you, sister. And I remember hanging up the phone and thinking, problem person. Just labeled her, problem person. Always problems. Always negative. Always everybody else's fault. Like, good riddance. And as soon as I hung up the phone, I remember feeling that deep, sharp conviction of my coach, the Holy Spirit. I remember hanging up that phone and feeling like the Holy Spirit just kind of spoke to me. Bam! This is a daughter of mine that Jesus shed his blood for. And I want you to love her through her problems. She is not a problem person. She is a person. And I started realizing, I felt under deep conviction, and I was alone in my office, and I remember hanging up my phone and feeling so convicted by the Holy Spirit. For the last 2 weeks, I had looked at people as problems and issues. Well, that's a problem person. That's a negative person. That's a person with resentment. And I remember falling on my knees in my little office and just weeping before God, tears streaming down my face as the Holy Spirit said, that's not the way I view people. That's not how I want you to be. That's not my heart for people. And I repented before God and said, God, forgive me, first of all, for labeling people. And second, God, my love tank is dry, so I need you to fill me, Jesus. I need you to fill me, Lord. And after weeping and crying and repenting, I got up and I felt like I wish that person would call again, because, man, I'm full of love now. And sometimes we need a fresh baptism of love. Some of you are in situations where you're dealing with your son or your daughter, or your husband or an aunt or an uncle or a rowdy neighbor. And you just need to say, okay, God, fill me with your love again, because, man, my tank is dry. I need a fresh filling of your love, God, because I want to have your type of attitude. I want that to flow out of me. So the first thing he says is that it is taught by God himself. The second thing that he says is that it should always be increasing in our lives. Look at what it says. It says, yet we urge you, brothers, to do so. Do what? Love more and more. Increase more and more. You say, well, I've gotten to a good point. No, no. Every day you need to increase. It needs to be an ongoing increasing of your capacity and power to love others in a practical way. This means that your sympathy for those in need, your patience for those that are struggling, your tolerance for those whom we disagree with, and that we develop a care for them. And listen, when I talk about love, I'm not talking about an emotion. You know that, right? Because the Bible never tells us to feel something. The Bible tells us to do something. When I talk about love, I'm not talking about you feeling love. I'm talking about you having an attitude that cares about people, even when they're hard to care for. When Jesus was hanging on that cross, and there were nails in his hands, and nails in his feet, and blood was streaming down his forehead because big thorns had been wedged in his head, I can guarantee you he wasn't having goosebumps up and down the back of his neck as he looked at the soldiers gambling his garments away and thinking, wow, I just really feel love. No, that wasn't a feeling. In his pain, Jesus had chosen to love. And hear me well, listen, if you're in a marriage today and you base your marriage on how you feel, if you feel or don't feel love, then I can guarantee your marriage is not going to last very long if that's what you base whether your marriage stays together or not, because feelings will come and go. The commitment to choose love is bigger than your feelings. And as you choose it and go down that way, the feelings will follow. But your commitment to love is bigger. There are times when you walk in this auditorium or when you interact with people that you're not going to feel an emotion of love, but you just say, I'm going to love them anyways, regardless of how I feel.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Defiance, Turning Your World Upside Down. And tonight was the first half of his message called The Hard Work of Waiting. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book called Unstuck is also available for just $10 plus shipping. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great night, and we look forward to having you back tomorrow. God bless.